You're listening to Baking to the B-Movies with Ashley and Steph, broadcasting from the woods of Western Massachusetts. They're here to talk about the beautiful, the gory, the nonsensical, and of course, mostly bad horror filmmaking that we all know and love, while creating recipes inspired by these wonderful abominations. You can follow Baking to the B-Movies on Instagram, at Baking to the B-Movies, and on Twitter, at Baking to B Movies. These ladies dig deep into these movies, and some of the topics covered are disturbing. So this is your spoiler warning and explicit content warning. Listener discretion is advised. Now onward to good food, good friends, and movies so bad they literally cannot stop talking about them.
Back to
nice
and welcome back to we're off to a good start,
right? It's only funny because every time we're like super quiet about it, you know,
until
welcome back.
Welcome back.
All right, go on.
Well, welcome back to Baking to the B-Movies now that we finally got it out.
Right.
My name is Ashley.
My name is Steph.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure and a privilege to be back in this studio. I love it. Steph, how are you?
I'm good. Don't good. Mind me. The air has been so dry that my throat has been tore up, so I've been sucking back cough drops.
It has been so bad. Like weather-wise, I mean, we're used to it because we've lived in New England our whole lives. But like we've reached that point where, I mean, it was pretty warm throughout November. We had more warm days than cold days. It was like 65.
70 degrees on a couple
there
of
were,
the days.
I think like 2 days before Thanksgiving, it was up to like 70. And then all of a sudden we just like literally like 42 hours ago, 48 hours ago, we got slammed with a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And of course now it's like, oh, time to put the heat on. So it gets super dry.
Yeah.
So like I wake up and like my nose is itchy, like and dry. My throat is scratchy. Up, Like I feel fine. It's just the change in climate and temperature and... Like, you're going in and out of, like, the cold into hot stores, hot restaurants, hot houses. It's, tis the season.
I will try to keep my coughing under control.
No worries. So before we get started on today's episode, the usual, we are available wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like, subscribe, smash that follow button.
Yes, as hard as you
as
can.
As hard as you can. Break your phone. You smash it so hard. You can follow us on Instagram. We are at Baking to the B Movies. We are still on Twitter, I think, probably through the end of the year. And then I'm just going to call it quits because I hate it. Baking to B Movies.
It's not great.
It's not great. And you can reach us directly with any questions, suggestions, feedback. If you want to share recipes that you've tried based on any of these movies, you can reach us directly at bakingtothebmovies@gmail.com. I promise you, we do check it with some regularity. I do try to log on a couple times a week. And
Yay. Good.
So, Steph, we are in December. We are... I mean, the holidays are upon us. You and I just had a lovely Black Friday together, though.
We did.
We had a really spent Black Friday together. We went to Yankee Candle because the headquarters is like 10 minutes away from my apartment.
Yep.
So we were in South Deerfield in that big, where, you know, it's Christmas all the time. And it was fun. We got some good stuff. And then we went out for that really nice lunch at that really cute little inn.
We got to go back.
Oh, that's right. They gave us like a gift, like a mystery gift card.
Friggin'
so as we're talking and recording this, we just got a pop-up for antivirus software, and we were literally just talking about how it just comes at the most inconvenient time.
Right, to renew and whatnot. Yeah, good stuff.
So we went for lunch at this like really cute historic inn, also in Deerfield, like the historic part. And they gave us like mystery gift cards. We can't open them until we're back there.
Like, yeah, well, I think it's between January 1st and
the end of the month, I think.
Yeah, so we have to go back in, like, a month.
Oh, no, we have to go eat nice food. Oh, no, woe is us. Yeah, and now...
Ashley calling me out. Damn you and your first world problems. Shake fist.
White people problems.
Right.
The caucasity. I mean, the holidays are upon us. Have you, like, started your holiday shopping or finished your... I have picked up, like, two things, and I'm like, fuck, it's crunch time. Like, I have to get...
Actually, I don't know. I only have to buy, like, a few things, but my main concern is my nieces and nephews, and I usually just get them, like, gift certificates to some museum or zoo or something, so it's just a matter of where I'm going to get that stuff.
Yeah, that's a
good
idea. But
other than that, me and Andy don't really do that stuff anymore. We usually just buy one big gift for the both of us.
That's nice.
Which is that TV downstairs.
You just, your TV is insanely huge.
My home theater is back.
What is that? What's that new, like, movie going experience? It's not like 3D. It's called like 4X or something. Like, it's supposed to like you sit in the theater and you watch a movie and they have like smell and sound and seats move and stuff to go like with whatever's happening
so
in the movie.
Like, and not interactive.
Like an immersive.
Immersive.
Your TV is basically like the 4X screen.
Which is funny because the subwoofer is like in the back next to the couch. So when something big happens, explosions, you know, things like that.
I felt it.
Yes.
I felt
it. You'll feel it.
I felt it. And one of your dogs picked their head up like, what was that?
Yes. That's exactly how that happens. It's great.
I started my holiday shopping because I have, like, I buy for, my mom's birthday is Christmas Eve. So I get, I have to get like a birthday present for my mom as well as a Christmas present. Mm-hmm. My brother, I have to get him something. My other brother who moved to Florida, we haven't seen them in like 2 years. Like, they haven't come back. Mm-hmm. Which I don't blame them. They live in a beautiful part of the country. Why would you? But we haven't seen them in 2 years, so we've just been kind of like stockpiling Christmas presents until we can do like one big exchange. So I have to like throw something into that. And then I have to get my business partner something. I have to get like Andrew and the kids stuff, like cousins. The list goes on. You and Andy, I know what I'm getting you guys. Sean, I don't know.
I find it impossible to shop for that kid.
Kid.
He's not a kid. But I find it impossible to shop for you, Sean.
Yeah, Sean, if you're listening, can you just, like, pick something and tell us so we can...
Right.
But I'm in the holiday spirit. My apartment is decorated. I noticed that you had your Christmas pillows on your couch today when I came through the door. I was very excited to see that.
Or you didn't see, like... the door being decorated?
Oh, I didn't look.
It's walked through it.
Well, I was walking towards the door and Andy opened it and I didn't get a chance to look. Yeah. Like, Andy opened the door for me because I was carrying the coffee and...
I have other things.
Okay, fine. I'll take a look. And then tonight we're doing the light fight.
Again?
I'm so excited.
It's becoming a tradition now, actually.
I love it. Steph and I do this thing in her neighborhood called light fight. And it's like all the houses... like
whoever wants to participate,
you can sign up and you like sign up for a category and you have to decorate your house or your business for that category and people drive around and vote on who has the best. And we did it last year and it was super, super fun.
It was fun.
We had cocoa, we were listening to Christmas music, and we're doing it again tonight. I'm so excited.
I think it's the first weekend too, because they do it like the first three weekends of the month or something.
And like I said, it just snowed, so it's gonna be beautiful. I'm gonna charge my phone so I can get all the good pictures.
Right.
Get them up on the gram. Nice. It didn't happen unless you posted on Instagram. So we have a fun movie today, but before we do that, just a quick rewind. Our last episode, we did the remake of The Hills Have Eyes, and I made bizcochitos.
Nice way. Congratulations on the pronunciation.
Thank you. There's actually two ways to spell it. There's B-I-Z, and then I saw the other one, which was B-I-S-C-O. Cheetos?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter which way, but So I find the Z helps me pronounce it a little. I'm like, oh, bizcochitos. Okay,
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, makes sense.
And they were good. I didn't put brandy in them, and I didn't put that anise seed in them. Something like that.
The licorice spice.
Because I don't like that.
Nobody likes
it. It's gross. I omitted that. It is in the recipe on Instagram for those who want to make it like by the book. That's like the recipe that I found that you do by the book. But I omitted like a couple things. And also, I didn't use lard. I used Crisco for those who don't want to use lard.
Yeah.
But I think they came out pretty good. We ate a lot of them.
I think we ate all, I think I ate all of them because I kept eating them.
They went quick, so.
You're like, oh, you don't like these cookies? What?
So we have, like I said, we have a pretty fun movie. I haven't seen this one in, God, I think the last time I watched it was like when I was 20 and I was barely paying attention. So this time I actually sat down, I watched it, and I have a lot of thoughts. I'm excited to get into it.
But, I mean, this is.
It's a classic.
One of the better ones in this. Yeah. In the subgenre,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes. It's much better than the one that we reviewed last season with Jack Nicholson.
So many comparisons today. Mainly the budget.
Yeah. So I'm ready to get into this. Do you wanna give the audience the summary of what we're about? The tender story.
The tender story of a reporter who has had issues with a serial killer and then gets sent to a location that's clearly a cult. The movie today we're speaking of is The Howling, one of the better werewolf movies.
Yeah,
in
definitely,
the genre.
Definitely,
100%.
Great use of practical effects.
Oh my
in
God.
This one. CGI, not so much. There's a little bit of CGI in it. Or
oh
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like I don't know if it was technically like CGI back then, what you'd call it, but special effects were a little.
I think it was, well, not cell shading, but cell animation.
Yes,
where they actually animate.
Yeah, that wasn't
shades.
Great, but everything else in this is fantastic.
Fortunately, there was only a little bit of that.
Yes, thank God. This is a 1981 movie, so it goes back, and it clocks in at an hour and 31 minutes. Could have been a little bit shorter, if I was going to be perfectly honest about.
There was some drawn-out bits here and there, but I didn't think it took away from the overall movie.
Yes. This one stars Dee Wallace.
The genre's everyone's favorite mom. She literally plays a mom in everything.
I was gonna say she's the mom in E.T., isn't she?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And is she the mom in Critters?
Oh, that's right. Oh my God,
yep,
I love Critters.
Yep. She was in the original Hills Have Eyes, I think.
Yes, she was.
She was the mom in Cujo.
Of course she was.
She's literally the genre's favorite
she's
mom.
She's like everybody's, like, she's like the quintessential horror movie mom.
Yes.
Although E.T. is not really a horror movie. It is traumatic, but.
Yes. Traumatic, yes. Sci-fi-ish.
Yeah. Christopher Stone is in this, who I believe was married to Dee Wallace until he died. I believe that they were married for quite some time. I don't know if they made this movie before they got married or after. It'd be pretty funny if this is the movie that, like, brought them together. Like, we fell in love making this movie.
Maybe. I don't know. I could not answer that.
We have the debut of Elizabeth Brooks, Dennis Dugan. Do you have anybody of note that you saw in the cast on this one? It's an older cast, obviously, so.
Not necessarily. John Carradine.
Oh, that's right.
So,
okay.
Slim Pickens.
Yes, I saw that in the intro, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Slim Pickens from Doctor Strangelove. I learned to stop worrying. And love the bomb.
So I think that we can just start on this one right off the bat. I mean, I say this every time we go to a movie that's from like the, you know, late 70s, early to mid 80s, because the intro always reminds me that, like, I wasn't even conceived during that time, but I'm like, I miss this. I miss this fashion and this music. And
right?
Bass heavy.
I am proud to say that I wasn't even conceived at that time
yes,
either.
this predates us.
Yeah.
I love it. But we are, do we know what city this is supposed to take place in? It's just kind of like your generic,
it's
like.
It's a generic sleazy city because there's lots of porn everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of like peep shows and strip clubs and like adult movie bookstores or whatever. Yeah. But we meet Karen. Mm-hmm. Who is played by Dee Wallace, and she is a news reporter who is attempting to, it's like a sting operation almost.
Yes.
She is luring a serial killer that has been killing all these random people in the area. Obviously, I mean, serial killers, that's what they do. But she's essentially luring this serial killer who has taken an interest in her. He's stalking her.
Yeah.
And rather than, like, be afraid or, you know, try to hide from him, she's like, I'm gonna not only get this story and, like, you guys are going to cover this because this is my job. I am a professional news anchor.
Right.
But also, like, we're going to capture him so that he stops killing people.
Well, that's the big part.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, she's going to get her story. If you listen to the way her coworkers talk, they're more interested in the story than actually capturing the guy. Because it's ratings. Yes, it's
exactly.
So she has agreed to, his name is Eddie, the serial killer. Mm-hmm. She has agreed to meet Eddie on his terms. She wears a color combination outfit that he has requested so that he can, like, spot her. She has no idea what he looks like. He leaves, like, a calling card. It's like a smiley face sticker. Yes. So she knows kind of where to, like, there's one, like, by a payphone. So she, like, goes to the payphone and he's going to call her at the payphone. She's got a wire. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is, you know, 1981, so the technology isn't great. So her transmission is interfered with a lot to the waiting police van or whatever. Like, her feed, there's a lot of feedback. Her feed keeps cutting in and out.
Yeah, they can't really hear her that well.
Yes. And, you know, she's in a payphone. And what I loved is, like, so we go back and forth between her being in this very sleazy part of town to... where she works, the news station where she works, and, like, they're just there. There's one of her coworkers, I think it's her co-anchor, is practicing in the bathroom mirror of what he's going to say when they capture this guy, like, the brave Karen whoever.
Yes.
You know, our very own Karen, like, is the person who caught me, who helped catch this killer.
Yeah.
You know, and her husband Bill is at the station, like, waiting for an update. Mm-hmm. And Bill, I thought for a split second, I thought that Christopher Stone was, I'm like, is this the guy from Halloween 3? Because it's like that 70s mustache. Like,
right. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And I agree.
Is it, like, Tom Atkinson or something?
Yes. Tom Atkins.
Yeah, that must, it's a, that 70s.
I was 70s. Like, is this the same guy?
Yeah, it's that 70s stash.
It's not the same guy, thank goodness.
But everybody is basically convening at this station, with the exception of the police, who are waiting not too far from where Karen is, so that when she gives a signal or they hear something that, like, sounds like trouble, they will go to where she is and essentially rescue her and arrest Eddie, who's the serial killer. But Bill is at the station. We meet her coworkers, Terry and Terry's boyfriend, Chris, I think is his name.
Yes.
Christopher.
Yep.
And Terry and Christopher are more concerned about Karen's well-being than ratings. But, like, her boss is just like, no, this is going to be the biggest story.
Her boss is a real douche.
Yeah. Well, most bosses are.
Not mine. I love my boss. She's great.
So Karen is in this payphone, booth, which I haven't seen a payphone booth in.
It's been
so
a minute.
Long. Oh my god!
It's been a minute. Yeah.
There used to be one by the Friendlies in Webster.
Friendlies. I remember that.
Do you remember
one.
That one? Yep. They finally took it down after all this time. I drove Did by they? There. Yeah, because they're tearing that down to build, like, a new gas station or something. But they took down the phone booth. Historic relics, if you will.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it.
So. She's, like, talking into the wire that is in her clothes, like, letting them know, like, there's a guy outside the booth and I don't know if this is him or not. And the phone ends up ringing and it's Eddie calling her to make sure that she's at the location he told her to be. Mm-hmm. And they're talking and, you know, he's asking her, like, did you wear the outfit I asked mm-hmm. you to wear? Okay, mm-hmm. great. And he tells her where to go. And she is leaving the phone booth. Come to find out, the guy that was waiting outside was just some guy. It wasn't, like, anything nefarious.
Yeah, it was just a
random... We're made to believe that, like, he's going to ambush her, but he doesn't.
No.
Well, Eddie wants her to meet him at a porno theater, like a peep show theater. And she, like, goes into the store. The theater is in, like, the back of just a regular porn shop with, like, you know, a bunch of... like, shady dudes wearing trench coats and...
Sorry.
It's all right. A bunch of shady dudes wearing trench coats. And when she comes in, they all, like, leave because she's famous.
She clears it out, yeah.
Yeah, she clears it out because she's famous and no guy wants the famous chick to see him in a porn shop. And she goes to the back of the theater and there are different, like, screenings that she can sit in. And one of the screenings has the smiley face sticker on it. So that's the theater that she needs to go in. That's the one that Eddie is supposed to be meeting her in.
Yep.
And she's walking through this porn store. And not that she's touching everything, but, like, she's touching enough where I'm just like, there is not enough hand sanitizer.
Mm. I know.
Especially, like, in 1970s, 1980s, like, New York. Chicago, wherever the hell they are.
Yeah.
Like, they're, like, my skin was crawling. I'm just like, I have, like, one of those, like, spray sanitizers in my purse, and I caught myself kind of, like, reaching for it while I was watching the movie, because I was like, I feel icky. Mm. This, they did a very good job at making it feel like an authentic ickiness.
Yeah.
So, Karen goes into this screening where there is a movie of, it looks like a snuff film, almost. It's
100%. This woman is getting, like, gang banged.
Yeah.
Gang raped.
And not willingly.
No, it's, yeah.
It's uncomfortable and
forceful and comfortable.
Yeah, and Karen.
No consent.
Yeah, no consent. And Karen's sitting there just kind of like watching this, and someone comes into the, like, the booth or the viewing area behind her. And I hope to God she's not sitting down, because that's another thing. Oh my God, like, my skin is crawling. Like,
so gross.
It's so gross. And it's Eddie. Eddie is, like, in there with her. And
we don't actually get to see his face.
We don't see his face. And he's talking to Karen about, like, she can't turn around, but he's telling her, like, he's going to, like, change her life, basically. Like, his whole goal is, like, he has been watching her from afar. He admires her. And he's going to change her life. And, like, he's telling her she can't turn around until, like, he's ready. And he kind of, like, backs up, like, his shadow kind of, like, not disappears, but you see him, like, stepping back further from her.
Right.
And he's making, like, his voice changes. There's, like, a very distinct voice change. And he's telling her that she can turn around now.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are listening to the feed, the cops, like, can hear some of the conversation. It's not totally clear. But she turns around, and we don't see what she sees, but it's enough to cause her to freak the fuck out. Like, right. She completely loses her mind. And the cops hear this, and they haul ass to where she is.
Yep.
And they go to the porn theater. They figured out where she is. They're kind of retracing her steps. They talk to the owner, who's like, yeah, she cleared the place out. She's back there watching mm-hmm. a movie. And they go, and, like, they can't find her right away, but she's still screaming. So when they hear her screaming, one of the cops just, like, immediately draws his gun and shoots into, like,
into the darkness.
Just shoot first, aim later.
Like, yeah.
And thankfully doesn't hit Karen, but he does hit Eddie a bunch of times.
Yes.
And they get Karen out of there, and she is just, like, deeply traumatized.
Yes.
Like, Bill is, her husband Bill is there. The cops are there. I think, like, a couple of her friends from the station come down to check on her at the scene, and they're asking her questions, and she can't remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has now developed some kind of, like, post-traumatic amnesia.
Yeah, some sort of something. She's like, I have no idea what he looks like, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, she can't remember what happened or really any of the events, like, the events leading up to it. And like a trooper, because it's corporate America, she goes right back to work. Her boss wants her to talk about it on air, because they're doing a big story about this guy getting killed, the serial killer.
When she's obviously traumatized.
Obviously. Like, there's a scene where she's, like, sleeping on her couch, and she's having flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, snippets of, like, different things that, like, she can remember, but then, like, when she wakes up, it's gone again. And she's having night terrors and PTSD, but her boss is like, nope, you're going to get up there and you're going to tell the story about how, like, you helped catch this guy. And she, like, goes in front of the camera. They start rolling to do their, like, nightly 5 o'clock broadcast. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hi, you know, I'm Karen, whatever her last name is.
Karen White.
Karen White. And then immediately she just, like, dead air.
Yeah, she just goes completely, like, blank.
Completely blank. And she ends up talking to, so they pull her out of there.
Yes.
And I think they replace the story with something else, because she can't remember anything and she can't do the news. She can't do her job. But yeah, I was watching that and I'm like, that's, like, the perfect, like, representation of corporate America is, like,
mm-hmm.
you almost got shot. You witnessed somebody get shot. Mm-hmm. You also witnessed, like, a rape, essentially.
Not just somebody getting shot, but somebody supposedly dying.
Yeah.
Like, he supposedly died there.
Yeah. You bear witness to all of this, but, like, your boss is like, cool, so you're gonna still come in, right? Like, mm-hmm, it's like, mm-hmm. like we're really sorry that you went through that, but, like, what time are you gonna start your shift? Like, because we're short-staffed. Like,
right, you know,
it's
right.
Like one of those things.
100%.
So Karen ultimately sees a psychologist or a doctor therapist, or whatever, a therapist. Yeah. And he recommends that she take, I think, like, a week or something, and she go to this, little, it's like a commune that he runs. And it's called The Colony.
Like so many red flags.
Yeah.
And let me just wave them all in front of your face.
Yeah. But of course, Karen doesn't see these red flags.
Well, to her credit, her and her husband go. It's not like she goes by herself.
Right. So. Bill comes with her. Bill and his mustache, they go with her.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, so they're making their way to the colony, which, like I said, it's like this remote commune, off the coast.
In the woods or mountains or something.
Yeah, there's the ocean's not far from it. It's just this little oceanside community.
Yeah.
And the doctor essentially runs it. And he it's for very special patients. He tells her that. It's for very special patients. And he recommends that Karen and Bill, both go take the week and get some treatment, get some rest and relaxation, go meet the people. And they're going to do some, a different type of therapy, an experimental type of therapy to try and get her memory back so that she can not only assist with this, ongoing investigation, but so that she's not, losing pieces of time and so while they're on their way, her co-workers, Terry, who I love, Terry, she was so great.
I like Terry too. Definitely decent people.
They're doing a deep dive investigation into Eddie the serial killer. They want to know more about him, what makes him tick, where did he come from, so they're going to start this investigation. I believe they track down where Eddie lived. So they go to his apartment, and it's, like the rest of the city, it's pretty sleazy. It's a sleazy, not hostel, but it's one of those pay by the week kind of places.
Right. Let's just say he's not the Hannibal Lecter type of serial killer.
No, exactly. He's more the Richard Ramirez. Just kind of, fly by the seat of your pants, renting a room for a few weeks at a time. But his room is filled with, newspaper clippings because it's a horror movie. That just seems to be the trope.
That's just a thing. And drawings.
And drawings. Yeah. And he has drawings of, people that look sort of, canine-ish.
A little bit
wolfy, if we could be dogs. Some bulls. Yeah, dogs.
Dogs.
There is a stunning picture. I don't know if it's a photograph or a drawing that is done of a landscape, a seaside landscape with all these trees and rocks. It's very, very pretty. But what I do love is Terry and Chris are just working their way through this apartment, and Terry's I think we should call the police. And it's you didn't do that before? You're contaminating a crime scene? Investigative journalism. I love it. So anyway, so they're gonna go find Eddie's body at the medical examiner's office, but meanwhile Karen and Bill have reached the colony, and there's a lot of characters there.
So the colony reminds me of my father-in-law's lakeside community. It's like a sitcom. It's all these colorful characters.
Yeah.
Goofy stuff. That's exactly what it was like. So they go there.
Yeah.
And there's, they're having, a party or something.
They're having, a bonfire. Yeah, a camp, not a camp out, but, a grilling sesh by a bonfire.
Yeah.
And we find out that Bill doesn't eat meat.
He's a vegetarian.
Karen meets, I think her name's Donna, who becomes, they become fast friends, but they get along. Donna's kind of showing her the lay of the land.
Yeah, and they meet, or introduces them to all the other shifty characters.
Yeah.
Colorful
there's
characters.
There's a lot of people. It's all these people that essentially this doctor is treating for various issues.
Yeah.
But they're all pleasant enough. They're all friendly enough.
They seem nice.
With the exception of Marcia.
Oh, Marcia, you lusty broad.
And when they show Marcia and you see the necklace that she's wearing and the top that she's wearing, I'm it's the spirit Halloween priestess costume. You know what I mean? It makes no sense.
Priestess. Yes. 100%.
It just reminds me of the spirit Halloween, high priestess costume. She's got a bone necklace and a leather corset. It's Xena warrior princess meets
Except not quite as, flashy.
Exactly. But Marsha is like the residential. I think they call her like, I think Donna like says like, oh, she's a nymphomaniac. Like,
yes. That is the exact term they use. I'm like, great use of that word.
Yes. Great word. Not used often enough, I don't think. But Marsha is like, you know, she's making eyes at Bill, mm-hmm. you know, she's kind of making, not goo-goo eyes, but like she's giving Bill the look.
We know the glare,
like undress me glare.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
And she has a brother and I didn't quite catch his name. What was his name? Do you recall?
Shoot. I don't know.
He's like the resident Tarzan. Like he's like,
oh yeah. He's the one with the,
long hair,
the shawl.
Yes.
Not a shawl per se, but like a...
So she's the high priestess and he's a...
But it's like fur.
Yeah.
It's like a fur...
Pelt. He's wearing like a pelt.
Pelt thing.
She has a brother. And while everybody's like sort of gathering around and eating and drinking, there's an older man in the group that's kind of disgusted by everyone's behavior. I want to say that was played by... what was his name? Carradine. What was his first name?
John Carradine.
John Carradine, I believe, played him.
Earl.
Yes. He was like an older man, and he's kind of just like, he's watching all these people dance and drink, and like, he's like not happy about it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And he wants to throw himself onto the bonfire. Like, he's just like, you know, and the doctor talks him out of it and like calms him down, and, you know, it's just like, we'll go through this during a session tomorrow. Like, it's fine. It's going to be fine. But that's really the only outburst from this group of people, other than Marsha, like, getting mad that the doctor had given her brother a book to read that she didn't agree with. She's, like, a very, like, spiritual, like, nature-driven person. And
let
she
it be.
Live, laugh, love.
Oh, boy. Yes.
You
know she's just got a bunch of crystals back in her cabin.
Oh, yeah. No, she's
all day.
She's like, hold on, I got to cleanse my rose quartz in the moonlight because it's whatever, like, it's a wane moon or whatever the fuck you said.
Mercury is in retrograde.
Mercury is in Gatorade, and I gotta fucking bless my rose quartz turquoise, whatever.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Anyways, great character.
Yeah. It reminds me of people out by where I live.
Okay.
We have a crystal shop out by me.
Like a specific?
Specific, like, tarot and crystals and, like, and I don't judge. Some of it I don't understand. Like, people will be like, astrology, I'm just like, I'm an Aquarius. And someone would be like, what's your sun rising? And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And they're like, you know, what's your moon landing or whatever? And I'm like, I have
no idea. That's what that is. But yeah, no judgment. We actually have a store like that's very, very small uptown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's called like Taproot or something. I've been in there maybe twice.
Yeah. You can get like cool stuff like that.
You
like
can.
Cool stuff in places
I was looking for like essential oils for soap.
Yeah.
They did not have the quantities I needed. Let's just say that. But, you know, it's a cute little store.
Yeah. But, yeah. But some of the characters that you see, like, coming in and out of those places, you're like, what?
Well, basically, like, the guy who owns that store.
Yeah. You're like, what do you do other than this? Like, what conversations do you have with people when you're not here? It attracts a very specific type of person. And
it's very niche.
Yes. And it reminds me of people that I see out by me at that shop at that store where I'm just like, what do you do? Like, what are your hobbies? But also there's a band playing like during this cookout and for a minute I was like, this place kind of rules. Like, I'm kind of
into
it.
I would go.
I mean, despite all the red flags, it's called The Colony, for God's sake.
Yeah. I'm like, well,
you know, and you got
obviously a cult.
Yeah. But I'm like,
something similar.
Like, honestly though, it's like a beachside cult with a band.
Could be worse.
I'd sign up. Like,
right?
I'd go willingly. So the first night at the colony, Karen wakes up to like howling noises, and they're not just like stereotypical like coyotes. Like, it is something big and very loud. And there's more than one. It sounds like there's more than one. And she like,
well, yeah. Packs of dogs.
Yeah, and she, like, she wakes up Bill because she's like, what the fuck? Basically, yes. Like, oh my, she's terrified.
She's freaked out.
And Bill couldn't care less. He's like, go back to sleep. Like, it's fine. You know.
Like, it's just, like, coyotes or something.
Yeah. Back in the city, while this is happening, Terry and Chris go to the medical examiner's office. They want to see
the body.
Eddie's body.
Yep.
because they're doing this full investigation. And what I loved is, like, I love a medical examiner with a sense of humor. Like, yeah. He's just, like, cracking jokes and, like, eating a cheeseburger next to...
I was
going to
say, like, they did the shot of...
Yeah.
What, like, was it, like, brain matter?
Yeah, it looked like a brain.
Brain matter, and right next to it was his...
His lunch.
His McDouble.
Ooh, that sounds good right about now. Right? Yeah, but he has a sense of humor, and, like, he goes to the, he goes to, like, the cadaver drawer, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
the lockers.
Yeah, to, like, take Eddie's body out, because they want to take a look at it, and he, like, knocks on the door. He's like, Eddie, you got company. So funny. Like,
right?
Favorite character by far. But when he opens it, there's nothing in there. It's empty.
It's empty.
And there's
like,
huge,
so empty.
It's so empty, and there's huge claw marks on, like, the inside of the door.
Yep.
And Terry's, like, taking pictures of everything because she is an investigative journalist.
Right.
And that's her job. But, so now, you know, we're thinking that Eddie got killed in the police shootout. Evidently, he did not, or somebody took his body. We don't know.
Mm.
But there's huge claw marks that would indicate...
But how do you explain the claw marks? From the inside?
From the inside. Not on the outside. It's on the inside of the drawer. Mm-hmm. So something mm-hmm. fought its way out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And the body's not there. Uh-oh.
What could it ever so be?
So, you know, we cut back to Karen, you know, Karen and her friend Donna. They're, like, playing tennis or yep. whatever. They're just doing, like, recreational activities. But, like, that night, you know... Karen hears noises again, and she goes to investigate, because her and Donna are, like, talking, and they hear, like, a cow. Like, a cow mooing.
Yes, yes. And Karen, there was, like, a farm somewhere
Yeah, there
nearby.
Was, like, a farmstead nearby, and it sounds like the cow gets attacked.
Yeah, it wasn't making a normal cow noise.
Yeah, and Karen's like, we're gonna go investigate, like, whatever. And they go into the woods, they have their flashlight or whatever, and they find the cow, and the cow has been mauled.
Yes.
And,
tore up.
Yes, tore mm-hmm. up. And I don't know if they're, like, technically, like, it's not the sheriff's department, but the law in the colony, like, the guy that's in charge of, like, law and order, he,
yeah.
he comes down to the scene, and he tells them that, like, a cow up the road also got mauled. So there's something big running around, like, killing these cows.
Yeah.
And the old man who, you know... Sound logic. He's like, the old man's with them because it's a neighborhood like affair. Everybody's assisting with this investigation of to like what happened to the cows. But the old man's like, it was UFOs. They came down and they mutilated the cows.
I loved that.
Yeah. Which I just watched the new season. Do you watch the Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix? The new one?
I don't watch. Well, I started to, and then I stopped.
So the first season is great. Okay. The second season is eh. I think we're in, like, the third or fourth season right now. And for whatever reason, like, the first and second season had, like, 12 episodes. And they were all stellar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a nice, healthy mix. I'm just going to go off on a tangent. I'm sorry.
It's cool. You do you.
it was, like, a nice, healthy mix of, like, true crime and, like, paranormal or extraterrestrial. It wasn't too much of one thing.
That's good.
And I think the true crime ones are the ones that I enjoyed the most because, like... They could be solved. You know what I mean? Like, they're solvable. Maybe.
Yeah, like, there's anything that's leading you to, like, well, that just doesn't make sense type of thing.
Yeah, well, you're watching... Well, the cool thing about it is, like, in one of the most recent seasons, they had this episode, and it's called, like... It was, like, the season finale of, like, season 2 or 3, but it was called Kidnapped by a Parent. And it was these two stories, because usually the true crime ones, they'll either cover one specific case and give all the information that they can and be like, if you have tips, like, please, for the love of God, call us. Like, this needs to get solved. But some of them, it's like one or two things, like, along the same lines. And Kidnapped by a Parent was about this one woman whose husband took off with her kids and fled to, like, Egypt, and she cannot find them. Like, they divorced or they were separated, and he was going to take the kids on a camping trip, part of their, like, custody agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up, like, taking the kids and leaving the country, and she hasn't seen them since. So it was just, like, it's, like, retracing their steps of, like, where they could be in Egypt. And it's, like, please, for the love of God, this woman wants her kids back. Like, she just wants to see her kids. It's super sad. Yeah. And then the other one was the guy had, like, he was a doctor, married a nurse at the hospital that he was working at. She went psycho. They got divorced, and she took his son. And took off, and no one can find them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it, like, shows, like, the age progression photos and everything.
Right.
But they give you updates. Like, on that episode, they were showing, like, at the end credits, they were showing multiple kids that have been stolen by a parent and, like, what they would look like. And they actually found one of the girls. They found, and so Netflix had to do an update where she got found. Somebody watched it and was like, that's our neighbor. Like, right. That's, like, they live next door to us. And it was the mom. She had taken the kid and took off. And now the girl was, like, old enough and the age progression looked like the girl next door. So it was her. So I love that kind of stuff because I love it because it's like, these are things that could be solved. Like, somebody watching this could be like, oh yeah, like, I, you know, I've seen this person.
I mean, there's been a number of those unsolved mysteries, even from the original.
The original, yeah.
Where they solved have it. Solved, like, yeah. a bunch of them yeah. because of the show, yeah. which is super cool.
And then.
And beneficial.
And they pepper in, like, extraterrestrial stuff and paranormal stuff, which, I get it. Like, that's an unsolved mystery. But
yeah.
the most recent season is fucking trash because it is nothing. But extraterrestrial paranormal shit. They did an episode on Jack the Ripper. And it's like if you have any information on Jack, it's like, yeah, I'm just going to, yeah, Jack the Ripper is like the guy that lives next to me. Like, yeah, I totally know who Jack the Ripper is. Me. 200 years later, yeah, and I totally, right? totally solved that crime.
Right? Like, Whitechapel, it's Whitechapel, right?
Whitechapel, yeah.
And, like, the Whitechapel district in England or London.
Yeah, it is the
in
stupidest.
In the 19th century. What?
It is the stupidest fucking thing. Like, they waste, and now, like, the seasons are, like, 6 episodes, and it takes them, like, a year to put them out. Like, mm-hmm. it's the stupidest fucking thing. But one of the ones in the most recent season dealt with cattle mutilations and, like, UFOs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I watched it, and I was like, God, this show went to absolute dog shit. But then I watched this. I was like, I know what this old guy's talking about. The cattle mutilations. It's totally a thing.
So. I've seen, like, other shows where that was basically the whole premise of it. Like, yeah. these cattle are getting mutilated, but aliens is a possibility.
Yeah. Not like a big dog.
And I'm not
like...
saying that it's not a possibility.
Yeah.
But that's been kind of a trope for a while now. Yeah. So it didn't seem that out of the ordinary
right.
when you see it in a movie right. like this. Yeah.
But that's, I was watching this and I was like, cattle mutilations. Oh my God. Unsolved mysteries. Oh yeah. This season's dog shit. Now I'm mad again. it all gets tied together. So the next day, the men in the community, or most of the men, Bill included, they give Bill a rifle.
They go hunting.
They go hunting because they're like, it's a wolf. Like, a wolf is
they
obviously...
They think it's a wolf or something.
It's got to be something big killing these cows. Because, like, the bite marks, the claw marks, it's got to be something huge. So, mm-hmm. they go hunting. And, you know, they're led by Marsha's brother, the Tarzan dude. Like, the guy with the pelts, because why not? Terry and Chris, who are back home, you know, the co-workers at the station, they go to the local library... to do a little bit of research on, because they've been to Eddie's apartment. Eddie's body is missing. You know, they're starting to link things together of, like, this seems like supernatural. Where can we go? And they go to, like, this, it reminds me of, like, Giles on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Like,
so good.
Like, this, the guy's living my dream, the librarian. He's got the type of bookshelf that you need a ladder on wheels to, like,
yes.
it's, I'm like, I want to live my best Belle Beauty and the Beast life.
Say, like, Belle.
and
yeah.
I can't.
You could just push yourself along the bookshelves on your ladder.
Yes, and sing.
All day, every day.
But they go to this bookstore, which has, like, all of this, like, supernatural, you know, paranormal literature and artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing, and I forget how they kind of figure out, they're like, I don't know how they jump to the conclusion of, like, oh, maybe Eddie's a shapeshifter, but that seems to be, like, the general consensus is that, like, this guy is cute, like, this guy isn't dead, and, you know, he's super strong because he clawed his way out of the drawer. You know, what could that be? And the guy's like, oh, well, here's a book on shapeshifting and, like, werewolves.
Because they initially asked, like, well, what would steal or, you know, how would you get out of...
Yeah, who steals a dead body?
A cadaver.
Like, yeah.
And he's like, no cadaver stealers, but I have this.
Yeah. And he gives... And Terry's reading this book. She likes the pictures in the book, and it deals a lot with the, you know, like, werewolves and shapeshifting and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's asking questions, and the librarian's like, yeah, I got silver bullets right here, because that's the only thing that could kill a werewolf, or, like, mm-hmm. silver bullets.
Yep.
And, like, you know, I have these. I purchase these from whoever. So they're, you know, they're doing their research. While hunting back at the colony, Bill kills a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
quite pleased with himself.
Mm-hmm. It's a good-sized rabbit, too.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like a jackrabbit. Thing's gigantic. It's massive. He catches up with fucking Tarzan or whatever his name is, and he's, you know, and Tarzan, I'm just going to call him Tarzan because I don't know his name. He's telling him, like, Marsha, his sister, lives in this, like, little cottage. Actually, it's not even a cottage. It's pretty big. It's a pretty big place. She lives kind of off the grid on the colony, but she loves to cook. And he tells Bill, because Bill's like, well, I don't eat meat. Right. So it kind of bears the question of, like, well, why'd you kill it then?
Right.
Like, what the fuck was the point? So, and the guy tells him, Marsha's brother basically tells him the same thing. Like, you know, it's, you killed it and you're not even going to eat it.
Like, right.
That's a waste.
That's a waste, yeah. Or didn't he call it, like, a sin? He
calls it a sin.
Or something? Like, you can't just kill something without eating it, basically. Yeah.
So he tells Bill, like, bring it to Marsha. She'll cook it.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. And he goes in, and Marsha is cutting up the rabbit and, you know, laying it on real thick. She's got, she's got it bad. she's got it bad for Bill. And, like, she puts him in a lip lock, and he shoves her off because he's married to Karen. Like,
yes, and he is.
He tries. But
he is dedicated to his wife.
We do find out that him and Karen, though, are having some intimacy issues because Karen is, like, still very distraught and she has PTSD.
Right.
And he's all like, I don't care. I'm a guy. Like, I'm going to dry hump your leg. And she's like, no. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay. You know, it's just, like, very, like, it's not, like, a fight, but, like, there's intimacy issues.
Yeah. Well, makes sense.
So Bill is, like, Bill storms out of the cottage, and he's making his way back towards where he and Karen, you know, the little section that they're staying in.
Yeah.
And he gets attacked. Like, he hears noises, and he gets attacked, and he gets bit.
Yes.
On his, like, shoulder, like, arm or something. And he makes it back to Karen, who comes out and, like, sees that he's, like, cut up and bleeding and is pretty big bite.
Right.
And he has to go get, like, the rabies shot and everything.
Right.
Terry and Chris are back at Chris's apartment or something, and Karen calls them frantic. And, you know, Terry answers the phone, and I thought it was very funny that they're watching, like, an old, like, werewolf horror movie, mm-hmm. like an old-timey movie on TV. And Terry answers the phone, and she tells Chris, she's like, Bill got bit by a wolf. And it's like, the timing could not be any better.
Right. Like, but being the good friend that Terry is, the next morning she, like, leaves to go to the colony to see her.
Yes. And Chris stays behind to finish the research that they're doing on Eddie. So Terry brings food for Karen, and she brings meat, and realizes, like, while her and Karen are eating the next day, because Bill's all bandaged up, he's got his rabies shot or whatever, you know, she realizes that she didn't bring any, like, vegetarian options for Bill, and she apologizes, but he's just, like, he's straight up eating the meat. Like,
he is eating it, and he even mentioned, he's like, if you're hungry enough, you'll eat anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, sure.
I'm like, starting to see a little bit of that, like, oh, okay, he's into the meat now, then we see the, you know, it was very similar in the, it is, like, a reoccurring theme in werewolf movies, when we did the review of Wolf with Jack Nicholson, like, how he starts, like, eating everything, like, he's, you know, eating, like, raw steak or something, and then just has, like, the urge to, like, bang everything that moves, because that's a primal instinct.
Yes.
And
yes, there's a lot of that in this movie, too.
Yes. So, at, like, one point, like, you know, Karen suddenly is in the mood. Like, she's in the mood, finally.
Yep.
And Bill's not interested because he got a rabies shot and he's sore.
Yeah.
And she's just like, okay. And, like, you know, they're just, not that they're incompatible, but they're just on different wavelengths, which I think is what she says. Like, they're on a different wavelength.
Yeah.
But Bill gets up in the middle of the night because he's got that primal instinct. But he doesn't have sex with Karen. He goes to the woods and meets up with Marsha.
Yep.
Yep.
Sure does.
I mean, men will use that, like, oh, I'm a werewolf now to justify cheating. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, no, you just gotta be like, oh, you're right, you're turning into a werewolf. Like, I'm just gonna have to let this go. Who am I to judge? You're turning into a werewolf. Like, my bad. fucking...
Yeah, good stuff.
So him and Marsha are going to, like, bang on the beach or whatever, and they start, like, transforming mid-bang. Like, yes. He's getting, like, fangs. She's getting fangs. Yep. Her eyes are changing colors. His eyes are changing colors. Yeah,
they're growing, like, claws and stuff.
I think Terry also, like, she is hearing, like, the howling, which... It's essentially Bill and Marsha,
yeah.
You know, because they're werewolves now. They're wolfing out. And she's, like, recording it on her recorder because she's still, like, investigating everything. She, you know, Bill comes back and, like, you know, Karen's sound asleep. And he just acts like nothing happened. Cheating fuck. So mad. Hate Bill.
Right? What a jerk.
Terry, I think the next day is, like, she's listening to the audio. She's down by the water. And she's, like, taking notes and, like, listening to the audio that she recorded for her report on Eddie and essentially this colony and what she's been learning so far and, like, you know, how these things tie together. And as she's, like, hiking back up away from the water, she, like, turns to take a look at the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks familiar. And she takes out a picture of the drawing that she found in Eddie's apartment. Yep. And it is that landscape.
Yep.
So... Eddie is now, like, she can confirm that Eddie has been to the colony.
Yep.
So.
He has a connection.
There is a connection. She makes her way, I want to say, to Marsha's cottage. And I don't know why she goes there first, but it's part of, like, she's just walking and she goes to it. And
I think she just finds it.
Yeah, she just kind of stumbles upon it, I guess. I think she hears somebody, like, whispering her name in the woods and stuff, too, doesn't she? Isn't
yes.
There's something, like, so she's following. She's
following the noise, yeah.
Yeah, like a lunatic. And I'm like, just go call for help, man. Like,
right?
Like the news report ain't worth it. And she ends up at Marsha's cottage and kind of, there's no one home. She kind of lets herself in.
Yeah.
And, you know, she goes, like, she's poking around and, like, she finds drawings that are very similar to the ones that were in Eddie's apartment.
Yeah.
She also finds the smiley face sticker that is, yep. like, Eddie's calling card where he essentially lured Karen, like, using the smiley face stickers, like, for her to follow, like, breadcrumbs. And she hears, like, noises outside the cabin or the cottage. And something breaks into the cottage, and she tries to haul ass out of there. It is something big and growling, and it is very much a wolf, a gigantic wolf.
It's a massive wolf.
And she does get a hold of a hatchet, which is good, because when this wolf starts, like, grabbing her, she's, like, hacking away at it, and she cuts its hands off. Mm-hmm. Well, one of its hands off, and it transforms before her eyes back into a human hand. Yeah. Which, great use of effects. I thought that was really cool. And of course, you know, it's all right. She's like dry air. I get it. Like,
I know.
She hauls ass out of there, conveniently and unfortunately leaves behind most of her research.
Yeah.
Which is a waste.
Yeah.
And she goes to the doctor's office.
Yeah, I think at that point she runs over and finds the doctor's office.
And no one's there. And she calls Chris to, like, let him know, like, Eddie has been at this colony. I just got attacked by something. There's some, like, lichen shit going on here.
Yeah, she's basically like, it's werewolves.
Yeah, it's totally werewolves. While this is happening, you know, Karen is getting ready to start her day. And Bill comes in and he's, like, putting a shirt on, and she notices scratches on his back that weren't there before. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, what made those marks on your back? And he gaslights her. You know, men using the I'm a werewolf to gaslight women. Like, you know, like, and again, you just got to be like, you're right. Like, you're absolutely right. I am crazy because you're turning into a werewolf. So it's my fault.
Right.
Like, it's totally exactly. my fault. But she,
100%.
But Karen's, like, not having it. She, like, calls him out on his bullshit because she knows what those scratch marks are. Any girl would. Like, that, like.
Legit.
Like,
I mean, come on.
Any girl would know what that is. Like, you look at your man's back and you see those scratches. You know what the, it wasn't no cat. You know what, like, you know what the fuck was going on.
Absolutely.
And she calls him out on it. And Bill, like, hauls off and, like, slaps her.
Right? He just, like, whacks her that by the side of the face and, like, okay.
And knocks her over. And, yeah. And I'm just like. men will use, I'm turning into a werewolf to abuse a woman. Like that. And you just got to be like, you're right. I deserved it. Yeah, because, like, you know, you're a werewolf. It's my fault. You're a werewolf.
Yep. 100%.
I'm telling you. I'm so mad. So mad watching this.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I'm like, this did not age well.
But Karen decides that she's just going to get the fuck out of there. She's like, I'm going home. Fuck you. Like, find your own way back.
Right.
Like, we're done. And good on her. Yep. You know, good on her not falling for that I'm a werewolf shit. Like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry that I cheated on you and tried to gaslight you and slapped you around. Mm-hmm. I can't help it. It's primal. It's like, yeah. I'm pretty sure wolves don't treat their mates this poorly. Like, you know, like actual wolves wouldn't treat their mates this poorly.
Maybe. I don't know.
I can't recall ever seeing a wolf.
Nope. Nope. I agree.
Terry is still in the doctor's office at this point.
She's actually looking through files on Eddie
now.
Yeah,
Chris tells her, like, is there a filing cabinet there? Anything that would give you any more information on what the fuck is going on over right. there? And she opens the filing cabinet, and this killed me. She opens the filing cabinet. There is a file on Eddie in the filing cabinet.
Yep.
But before she gets a chance to review it, she is attacked by a fucking 7-foot-tall wolf that she failed to notice was in the room with her.
Right? Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, how did you not notice that fucking
thing? Oh, my God. I couldn't even.
So it's, she gets...
I mean, it's fine. He was hiding.
I guess.
Sure.
Sure. Behind the curtain or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah. Under a lampshade. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Shit. Like, she misses this 7-foot-tall, like, snarling, drooling wolf in the room, in this tiny-ass room.
Yep.
And Terry, unfortunately, gets got. Like, that wolf gets her.
Yeah, that wolf, like, bites right into her throat.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There ain't no coming back
she
from that.
She puts up quite a fight.
She does. You know, too much to her credit.
Yeah.
She did fight back. But, you know, when you're in a small room with a 7-foot-tall wolf... You're probably not going to get the upper hand.
Karen enters the room shortly thereafter because she's going to tell the doctor that she's leaving.
Yes.
And she finds Terry, I believe, and is like, you know, and I think the phone line has been cut. Like, she can't call for help.
One thing I found funny about this bit is that she does see Terry, but she doesn't look that distraught.
I know
that her
that.
Best friend,
your best friend, and your
has
coworker.
Her throat ripped out.
Yeah,
lying on, I'd say not like a gurney, but like a medical table. Of
yeah,
some sort.
And she's like,
and she's like, oh no, okay, like I feel like you should be a little bit more distraught.
I would
but...
be, yeah. I was a little confused by the reaction. I was like, maybe they were frenemies. I don't know. Maybe this was like a relief to her.
I don't know. We're not quite sure. We thought they were good friends. Maybe they
evidently
really weren't
not.
That great.
But Karen ultimately, like, when she goes to leave the room to haul ass out of there, she comes face to face with fucking Eddie.
Yes.
Eddie, the serial killer.
Human Eddie. Yeah.
Human Eddie. He is not, like, he hasn't, like, turned into anything, or he's about to, but he's human Eddie, and they have this brief conversation where he's like, you know, I trusted you.
Yep.
And, you know, and
Andy, you can see, like, he's got, like, bullet holes in him.
Yeah, he's got a fucking bullet hole.
From the shots before.
Yeah.
Which weren't silver bullets, so
yeah, so they didn't
kill him. Yeah,
and he's like peeling at his face and everything, like, and it's a great the transformation took a little long. It was a little lengthy.
So the transformation was super long.
It was so
however
long.
The transformation in this movie,
one of
is
the better ones,
so good.
It's one of the better,
like,
ones.
This,
yeah,
like, as far as the werewolf subgenre goes, it's like there's, like, an ongoing argument as to who has the better transformation, this movie or American Werewolf in London.
Ooh,
which is also
excellent.
Very
good. Also,
like,
really good.
As far as that goes, like, these two are the best werewolf transformations in the history of werewolf movies.
Yeah, this was a good one, but it is a little lengthy.
It's very lengthy.
It's very lengthy.
But they wanted to, you know, that's the whole thing.
Like, their whole budget went to that, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So, like, if they were going to do a werewolf transformation, they wanted to do it right.
Yeah.
Right? So, let's make it as long as possible to show the sheer caliber that they used to do this transformation.
And how painful it looks. Like,
see, I don't think it looked that painful.
I don't know, like, his
compared to the American Werewolf in London
that
transformation,
one's...
that dude was obviously in, like, just sheer amounts of pain.
Yeah.
Because your entire theoretically, your entire, I talk about this like I know werewolf. I was once a teenage werewolf. Your whole muscular skeletal system changes.
Well, that's like his face gets like elongated or whatever.
Yeah, like the nose, like the snout. Snout
turns into a snout, yeah. Like his teeth.
And the nails, the like, nails grow, and the fingers grow.
Yeah.
So
it's like bones cracking and shit.
Exactly.
But Eddie fucking wolfs the fuck out in front of Karen, who...
Meanwhile, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump
again. No, it's okay.
But it's taking a very, very long time for him to change. Fine. Why is she just standing there and not being like, well, I gotta go.
Yeah.
You know, like, you literally had 20 minutes
But isn't leave. It, isn't it she gets, like, while this is happening, she has, like, a flashback to the night at the adult theater. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was what she saw. That's why she couldn't remember. She trauma blocked it out because Eddie was fucking wolfing out then, too. Like, he well, was transforming.
Right. Like, it's, like, obviously... I'm watching this movie and the whole beginning bit happens, but you don't see Eddie's face.
You don't see him transform.
But I'm wondering, did they actually imply it to be that's what she saw in the beginning?
Well, when his voice changed, like, in the peep show.
Yeah.
And it got, like, it sounded, like, much, much different. Right. And it sounds similar when he's starting to wolf out in front of her. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that's what is being implied, is that the reason she can't remember is because she was so freaked the fuck out that she just blocked it out completely. Well, it was
like trauma blocked it.
Yeah, she trauma blocked this dude turning into a wolf once before in front of her.
Right.
Which,
and then, you know, at that point you can't recognize what you saw.
Yeah.
You forget what you saw.
Yeah.
You know, also, if you're like, well, he looked, his face looked like the wolf.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everybody's like, "Kay." So.
Cuckoo.
Right, exactly.
Karen is watching this fucking 15-minute transformation happen.
25 minutes.
And she backs up.
It was literally like, yeah, it took 45 minutes.
It took a long time. It was enough time for Chris back home to grab some silver bullets.
He did.
And a rifle to start.
As soon as he got the phone call.
He goes
back to the bookstore.
Well, Terry gets attacked while she's on the phone with him, and he hears it. So he's going to haul ass to this colony, which I thought was further away than it was, but he does get there in record time, which was kind of impressive.
It seemed like it was at least a few hours away from the beginning of the movie. Yeah. Like, it seems like they're driving for a while.
But this seemed like
he got there real quick.
He got there real quick, so I'm like, oh, it was like 20 minutes away this whole time. Okay.
What about the scene where he stopped at the gas station?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's just like, there's a guy in front of him. And he's like, oh my God, come on, can you hurry it up? And then the dude is filling up whatever, his car. And he's like, you know, we don't all have, like, Mazdas. He's like, some of us have to work for a living. And I'm just like, Mazda?
Mazda's relatively cheap.
Right? Like, I feel like Mazda's about the same price that you would pay for any normal, like, car. That
Mazda money.
Right? Like, we don't all have Mazda money.
What the fuck?
Some of us have to work for a living.
Karen backs up while Eddie's transforming in front of her. She backs up against this table and, like, there's jars behind her. And when he's done wolfing out, she throws what I was like sulfuric acid
it's
or something.
Some sort of acid, yeah.
Throws it right in his face.
Yeah.
And hauls ass the fuck out of that.
So, you know, props to her for using her surroundings.
Resourceful. She gets to a car and she goes to leave, but she is stopped by a couple of other people that live in the town.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, no, you're coming with us. And they bring her to, was it Marsha's cottage? No, it wasn't Marsha's cottage. It was just kind of like
they were in like a barn or something. Yeah, I assume that was just where they would go occasionally to have their wolf meetings.
Yes, their wolf meetings.
You know.
But they bring her there and, you know, Terry has been, like, brought there. Like, her body has been brought there.
Yeah, she was all tore up.
Yeah, the whole call. It got, like, a rib sticking out and shit.
Yeah.
The whole colony's there. You know,
all of them.
Marsha, I think you can see Bill up in, like, the rafters kind of watching all this happen. But everybody, like, Donna, her friend Donna is there.
Yep.
And they're basically telling her, like, flat out, like, yeah, we're werewolves. And the doctor, like, brought us here so that we could learn how to, like, live amongst the people.
Yes, because they go on talking about how they're trying to acclimate.
Yeah.
Or they would try to acclimate to, like, normal, to gen pop, to the normal population, which is just insane. But the doctor shows up.
Yes.
And then she runs over to the doctor. She's like, oh my God.
Like, get me the fuck out of here.
And he's just like, nah.
Yeah. That was, I was laughing so hard. She like hugs him and she's like, oh my God, doc. And he's like, no. And I was like, that's me when anybody tries to hug me. I'm just like, no.
I know, right? No. It's very off-putting, Ashley. Yeah,
like, that's why I just kind of do the awkward, like, pat you on the back, and I'm like, well, see you.
It's fine. It's fine. It's been over 20 years. I've accepted it at this point.
So, you know, they want Karen to join them. They want Karen to join them, become a werewolf, join their colony.
Doesn't the doctor, like, I thought they were going to initially kill her, but the doctor was like,
yes, she's too famous.
We can't do that because she's famous. People will notice that she's gone.
Yeah.
So if we do that, we have to basically stage her death, like an accidental death type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were going to, like, throw her off a cliff in a car or something.
Yeah, they were like, put her friend and her in the car, douse it in gasoline, and push it off the cliff.
Yes.
And I'm just like, Terry's got, like, chunks missing out of her. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well,
like,
I mean, if you set the car on, you know, on fire, all the chemicals will blow up anyway.
True.
Or, yeah, so...
Not if it's a Mazda. Maybe they got Mazda money.
No, Chris has the Mazda. We don't actually know what kind of car she's driving.
Chris does arrive, rifle in hand, as they're getting ready to... Because ultimately...
Well, initially, he first found Eddie.
Yes.
And then blows Eddie to pieces.
Oh, yeah. Eddie's like, you know, give me your best shot. And Chris is like, okay.
He starts changing into a werewolf.
Oh my
again.
God, I thought it was going to be like another 20 minute.
No, it's funny because it's not. So yeah. It looks like it was going to be.
And I'm like, what?
And then Chris is like,
nah.
Boom.
Yeah,
just and I'm like, oh, so many problems would be solved if people just wouldn't wait for the dramatics.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris has no time for that.
Yeah, he's like, okay, well, looks at his watch. Cool. I don't have time for this. Boom.
Boom. And that's the end of Eddie. Yes. The doctor before...
But his face was all super, like, melty and stuff.
Yeah, because...
Which was also really cool practical
effects. Yeah, it was a great usage of practical effects in this movie. The doc does give Karen an out. He's like, you know, you can be with Bill and just stay here with us. Yeah. But, like, we have to change you. And she's like, no, I'm good. And So they're like, all right, well, now we got to kill you and make it look like an accident. So they're leading her to, like, the car. Somebody goes to, like, pick up Terry's body and Chris shows up with his rifle.
Yep.
And, you know, I forget, he, like, shoots one of them. The guy, he's like, these are silver bullets, so you're going to, like, let her go, and we're going to leave.
Yeah, because doesn't, like, one of them, like, kind of egg him on? He's like, go ahead.
Yeah, he's like, silver bullets my ass.
And he was like, I boom.
And he blows
like, Chris
him away.
Was so great. It was just like, you know, shoot first, think never.
Yeah. He shoots the doctor, which I thought was great. He has, like, no fucking patience.
And that's just great. Like, that's what you got to do in that situation.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, so many problems could be solved if you just stop giving people the opportunity to, like, trick you or, like, you got to do the double tap.
Yep.
Take him out, do the double tap, and then make sure you cut off the head or set him on fire. Like, end of discussion.
Yeah.
Agreed. So... Like, he kills the doctor, he kills this, like, rando, and Karen, like, runs over to Chris, and he's like, all right, we're getting the fuck out of here. Like, you know, where's Terry? And she's like, she's dead. And he's like, okay, so just you and me then. All right.
Yep.
I think there's, like, do they trap the rest of the colony in the barn?
The majority of it.
The majority of
things happen after the fact, but the majority, yes, they trap him in the barn, douse it in gasoline,
and set it on fire. And the wolves can't get out, like the colony.
They try.
They're trying to like break down the boards and shit, and they can't get out.
They can't, or at least they can't get out fast enough.
Yeah, Chris and Karen.
That shit went up like a friggin' cinder bomb, you know.
Chris and Karen make it to his car, and you know they are stopped by like the law, who are also wolfing out. Like they're starting to wolf out, so they get shot.
It's great because every time they start to wolf out, it's clearly that overly dramatic 20-minute change.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you got so much time to just boom.
Yeah, just end it. How the fuck does their car blow up? I forget what... Chris's car blows up, like, after they get out of it. I forget what the fuck happens.
I think they blow it up themselves because, again, it got swarmed by wolves. But I'm not entirely sure.
I
remember there was a shot. Maybe, like, she shoots the gun.
Oh, you know what it was? The cop shot the car and blew out the tires.
Right.
So they get out. Chris takes out the cop. And they get in the cop car. But yes, as they're getting in the cop car, like, his car just randomly explodes.
Yes, so fucking
funny. I love when that happens.
Basically, yes.
They get in the cop car. It gets swarmed. Again. And Chris is, like, in between trying to start the car, is, like, trying to shoot at these things.
Yeah.
But they do manage to get away in the cop car. Mm-hmm. But they haven't killed the whole colony yet.
No.
Because they're, one gets into the car, and it bites Karen. Like, it bites her shoulder.
It does. It doesn't kill her.
It doesn't kill her, but it bites her shoulder.
It does bite her shoulder. And then I believe she shoots
it. She has the gun, and she, like, just shoots it. And it ends up being, it was Bill. It was her husband.
It was Bill,
yeah. Which, good riddance. Like, I wish he had, I wish he had suffered more.
Yeah, he should have burned with the rest of them.
You know, men will use, I'm turning into a werewolf as an excuse to be like, I'm going to bite you and make you one of me. Like, sorry. And you just got to be like, okay, babe, crazy me thinking that, you know. Like, I'm the problem, you know, that.
Right, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
So, you know, Karen has been bit, and that's never good. No. So.
But they do get away.
They do get away. And she still goes back to work. She goes back to work.
Right?
Like, the ethic on this, like, woman. Like,
right? But she has a plan, though.
Yes.
So, basically, her being the big news anchor.
Yeah.
She's
finally like, I'm ready to tell my story.
I'm ready to tell my story, and we need to let everybody know there are freaking werewolves.
Yeah.
So, she's ready to change into a werewolf on screen.
Yeah. Like, and what I love, too, is that, like, you know, Chris is in on this plan.
Yep.
And they're reporting on this large fire upstate, which, of course,
was the colony.
The colony is on fire. And they're talking, like, she's, you know, they're talking about, like, the doctor owning the colony because he had been on their show at the beginning of the movie, like, to promote his book and everything. He had a new book that was out.
Yep.
And Karen goes off script. Like, it shows the teleprompter talking, still talking about the fire, but she's talking about something completely different. She's having her I'm Ron Burgundy moment. Like,
yes.
go fuck yourself, San Diego. She's having, like, that moment. And... like, and the guy who's, like, running the station is like, what the fuck is she doing? Like, what the hell is she doing? And he tells him, he's like, you know, cut, go to the other camera. And Chris is like, something. No, keep it on her.
Yep.
Like, and Karen's like, you know, I want people to, I'm going to show you because I want people to believe me. And she starts straight up transforming, like, on camera. Like, she starts howling and her eyes. And what I loved is because, like, Karen was so cute and, like, sweet in this movie.
She basically turned into a puppy.
She looked like a terrier instead of a wolf. It was so cute.
I get it, but, I mean, come on.
She looked like a little Pomeranian. It was so funny.
She did.
But, like, and the guy who's sitting next to her co-anchor is like, fuck this. And
right? Oh, my God. He was like, the hell?
And he takes off, but, like, Chris has the rifle with the silver bullets.
Yep.
And he shoots her, like, on camera. Like, shoots her in front of the in front of the cameras. And, unfortunately, it doesn't relay the message that she wanted to relay because it's cutting to different people's reactions. And they're like, wow, those are great special effects. And, like, is this, like, a Halloween episode?
Nobody,
so funny. Like, nobody cares.
Nobody is thinking it's real.
Yeah, they all think it's staged.
Yep.
And they're in a bar.
Which is a shame.
They're showing, like, the broadcast in a bar, and, like, one guy's like, nope, she was definitely a werewolf. She was a real werewolf.
Yeah.
And it cuts down to the end of the bar, and this one guy's like, you're all crazy. Like, that was staged.
Right.
And he's like, anyway, can I get my peppercorn steak and whatever the lady wants? You hear, like, the guy go, like, you know, what? How do you want your burger cooked?
Yeah.
And it's Marsha.
It's Marsha.
And she's like, rare.
Yeah.
And then breaks the fourth wall and stares right at the camera with a smirk. She breaks that fourth
wall. Breaking the fourth wall in 1981.
Oh, I love it.
Love it.
But yeah, Marsha has survived.
And yep.
She's going to keep turning people into werewolves now.
Yep.
Great movie. And that is The Howling. What did you have for body count? Because I lost count after 8.
So initially, did I even, yes. So I had like 9. But then I wrote Colony Burns, so who knows. But I was basically counting all the individual deaths. So even when they were doing the chase at the end with the cars, like, I was, every time they shot a werewolf, I put that down. So I got, like, 9. What did I say? 9. And then whatever the colony was. So a lot.
A lot.
A lot. But obviously, you know, you include Terry in there.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. like actual human deaths.
Star rating, what would you give this one?
I'd give this one like a 3.5. All right. I think this movie is super fun. The special effects alone are fantastic.
Yeah. I was thinking 3. Okay. It is a little long.
It is a little on the long side, yeah.
The story is a little disjointed at certain parts and points, but I liked it overall. It's fun. It's a good one. Like you said, the practical effects are amazing. The acting in this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty solid from all the performers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say 3. I'd give it about a 3. Do you have any interesting tidbits about this one?
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about this particular movie, and it does get compared to American Werewolf in London. However, it was kind of overshadowed by An American Werewolf in London because it came out the same year.
Oh, Jesus, dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
If it came out a different year, it probably would have done better.
Yeah.
Or maybe even worse. But I think it's pretty great. Released March 13th, 1981. The box office was 17.9 mil.
Wow.
The budget was 1.5 mil.
Oh, damn.
So, pretty good overall.
Yeah, pretty good.
It is based on a book of the same name.
Okay.
The special effects naturally were state of the art, especially for it being in 1981.
Yeah.
The transformation scenes were created by Rob Bottin, or Bottin, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, who also worked with Dante on Piranha. So nice. The director, I love this director, Joe Dante. He brought us Gremlins.
I love Gremlins.
speaking of Gremlins, always ends up on my watch list right around this time of year.
I was going to say, it's essentially a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas movie. Yep.
So yeah, this was directed by Joe Dante, which I meant to mention before, who also worked on Piranha, but worked with the same special effects guy during Piranha. Rick Baker was originally the effects artist for the film, but left the project to work on An American Werewolf in London. So he was the main guy. And so after he left, it was, you know, put on Rob's shoulders.
Yeah.
Who was under him. Excuse me. Obviously. And I think he did an absolutely excellent job. The most celebrated effect was Eddie's transformation.
Yeah.
Because that's where we get to see the whole thing unfold. It involved air bladders under latex, like facial application.
Oh, so like that was like the bubbling?
So it was, yes. So like his skin like kind of like inflates and deflates.
Yeah.
Those were bladders underneath latex.
That's cool.
On his face and hands and wherever they also did that. Because that's so they cool. did, they did keep that theme with the transformation throughout the whole thing.
Right.
Which was also really great. Variety claimed the Howling's biggest flaw was this effect was not topped during the climax of the film. And
I assumed Eddie transforming was like the climax of the film.
It was, well, it was the lead into the climax. The climax was mainly the barn burning.
Yeah.
Essentially building up to that. But the thing is, I mean, it was a long transformation, and Eddie didn't change until, what, an hour and 10 minutes into the
We only had, like, another 20 minutes left of the movie.
Exactly. So, at least, I mean, I don't necessarily agree, because you're going to do that one big, like, even in American Werewolf in London, you have the one big change, and you might see bits and pieces of it through the rest of the movie, but you're not going to see the whole thing again.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, so like they're saying like, oh, well, it happened too early. I disagree. There's 20 more minutes of this movie. Yeah. It's fine. So the film also featured, which we were talking about this earlier, stop motion animation and puppetry.
Yes.
Intended to give the werewolves an even more non-human look. The silhouette of Bill and Marcia having sex was super funny.
It was very funny.
You only see it for a hot second, yeah. So thank goodness for that. It wasn't on screen very long at all. Obviously, this was a cartoon animation. Like, we know this. You don't have to point it out.
Yeah.
But, of course, Dante attributed this to the budgetary, for budgetary reasons.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Now, due to the work on The Howling, Dante and producer Michael Fennell received the opportunity to make Gremlins for Steven Spielberg. And I love Gremlins. I've mentioned this before. Funnily enough, Gremlins references The Howling with a smiley face on the fridge door. So Gremlins is naturally on my watch list for this month.
I got to keep an eye out for it.
I'm going
to
keep an eye out for it. Because obviously I'm sure I've seen it before, but I've never connected the two.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So, you know, obviously that's because Eddie Quest leaves the smiley face stickers as his calling card. However, Jim McCrell's character as news reporter, Lou Landers, who was also, you know, the news reporter in The Howling.
Yeah.
Reprised the same role in The Gremlins.
That's amazing.
So now...
Now you have to watch and
so
be like...
So now, right. So I'm thinking... Gremlins and The Howling is clearly the same universe,
oh
right?
My God.
Right? I mean, it makes sense.
It's you the have howling, these little the green Howling dudes. Cinematic universe.
Now there's a Howling cinematic universe. Absolutely, that's I am all about it.
That's so good,
right?
I didn't know that. That's incredible.
Neither did I. And I watched. I've seen like The Howling. I've only seen a few times.
Yeah,
but Gremlins, I've probably seen a couple thousand.
Oh yeah.
So
it's a classic.
It's great. So for the consensus, Rotten Tomatoes shows 74%. Good. Not great, but good. Packs enough laughs into lycanthropic carnage to distinguish it from the other werewolf entries. I guess. Roger Ebert, that douche. Silliest film seen in a long time. Credited to the special effect. Or he credited the special effects for being good. But Gene Siskel liked the film. Cool.
Wow, finally. Right? Something that I don't hate them both for.
Right, right,
it's amazing.
Right. Scott Tobias of The Guardian said the film played a pivotal role in modernizing classic movie monsters. Agreed. This is by incorporating graphic, practical effects, and explicit sexuality, which is a common thing in all werewolf movies. And not just wolves, but like cat people. Like anytime you're turning into an animal in any kind of movie... There's always some sort of sexual undertones because animals just have sex to reproduce, you know?
Yeah, like, the only werewolf movie that I don't ever recall that being like an underlying theme was the one with Emily Blunt, Benicio del Toro. I think it was just The Wolfman. I don't recall that
being that was just...
blatantly sexual.
No.
It was just very Victorian goth.
Well, they were trying to just, you know, homage to the original Wolfman. But yeah, I agree with you. Also, I mean, I don't entirely remember American Werewolf in London, but I think there's some of that in there.
Yeah.
Okay. According to the New York Times, the film introduces themes of indulgence, of primal animalistic desires, literally what we just spoke about, particularly focusing on sexual aspects, but also offers satirical commentary on television and the media with its sensationalistic approach. For example, news, and how nobody should watch the news because you're going to be misinformed all the time because it's always about ratings.
Well, I just had this conversation with my business partner about, because he watches a lot of news, and I'm just like, I've been really trying to stay away from the 24-hour news cycles because at this point, it's just, depending on what network you watch, it is just straight up propaganda.
That's it.
And it's being shot into your eyeballs 24 hours a day, and... It's, you know, it's one side saying the other side's wrong, and then you flip on, like, what is essentially, like, the, you know, the adverse news station, and they're, you know, it's the other side that's wrong.
It's the same exact thing, back and forth. It's gross, and it makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I try to avoid it.
At all costs.
It cannot. Well, I view the consumption of, like, the 24-hour news cycles the same way I view the consumption of social media. It is designed to be addictive. And it is designed to get you to, you know, it develops basically like an algorithm of like your life. Like it inspires you to do things that like if you weren't addicted to it, you normally wouldn't do. Like buy this, think this way, do this.
Well, yeah, like, the advertisements and marketing is just terrible.
Yeah, just being shot directly into your brain. Yeah. It's like doom scrolling and the 24-hour news cycle.
It's just going to get worse.
Yeah, it's just, you know, horrific.
It's like people are not reporting the news anymore.
Oh, God, no.
Like, I don't care about your opinions is what I got to say. Well, that's what you're doing for ratings.
That's the thing is, like, you know, I'll watch, like, if I'm going to watch the news, I'll watch, like, the local, like, Channel 7, like, 5 p.m. news that goes on for an hour, and they talk about some national stuff and then mostly, like, what's going on in the area. Local, yeah. And it's just straight-up news. But, like, if you flip on any of, like, the major, like, I'll just, like, Fox, CNN, like, MSNBC, yeah. like, any of those, it's like, I don't want to hear some pundit's opinion. I just want the news. I don't give a fuck what this person thinks or how they feel. I just want the news.
Right.
Like, what is going on in the world? Give me facts and do it without, like, I don't want to name them because, like, I know people like her, but there is a reporter that her tonality drives me crazy because she's, like, sarcastic and she gives everything with, like, a smirk and it's always with, like, her little spin on it. And I'm like, this is not fucking news. How does this bitch have a job? Like, I don't understand how she's kept her job this long because she's fucking insufferable.
Yeah.
And, like, I want the news. I don't want the news with your spin on it or, like, your opinion laced throughout it. Just give me the facts.
Well, how hard is it, like, to just give me the facts? None of this is
facts. Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, America is stupid. anywho, so the film also critiques how TV, like I mentioned before, TV sensationalizes violence and focuses on the dark aspects of human nature. No news is ever good.
No.
Right? It's always bad stuff. You know what I'd like to hear about? Something that good happened in the world, because you know it does happen.
Yeah.
It still happens, but you never hear about it.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't bring in ratings. You know?
No, you gotta, like, sensationalize everything and, like, doom and gloom sells.
Yeah, well, it's awful and I don't watch the news, thank God. And anytime I, like, just pull up, like, something, I'm just opening, like, Google or something and just, you know, it's, like, news clips here and there.
I have carefully curated my algorithm so that when I open it up, it is a lovely combination of organization videos of people, like, organizing, like, their kitchen counters, which I'm obsessed with.
Nice.
Cooking, like, different, like, quick, like, crock pot recipes and stuff, which I'm also obsessed with. Yep. And Real Housewives and Vanderpump Rules. Just give give me my trash TV. What is Tom Sandoval doing this week? I need to know.
I mean, mine usually comes up with recipes. Usually, you know, music stuff, obviously. Oh, yeah.
I get a lot of horror stuff because of what we do. Yeah. Like a lot of horror.
And that's
news.
Basically it. It's very nice. This did spawn 7 sequels.
Jesus Christ. Right? Are any of, is like Karen, is the act? Oh, wait, no, she gets killed in this one.
She's dead.
No. Okay. Do any of the actors in this one that are alive, like, reprise their roles?
Not to my knowledge. Okay. I don't know. In 2020, remake was for Netflix. Was in development. I don't know if it still is. It's probably in development hell, as most movies do.
Ugh. Is it necessary? No.
However, Andy Muschietti is set to direct.
Oh.
You know who Andy Muschietti is?
I know Muschietti. I'm trying to think of the movies.
Top grossing horror movie of all time.
It?
Yes. 2017 it. The remake, obviously. The chapter one.
Shit.
He, I want to say it, his wife, directed that, and he is set to direct this one. I don't know. Obviously, we're in 2024 now. I don't know where it is in development.
Okay,
hell,
well, now
but
I'll
be,
watch it.
Yeah, I would still totally watch it because I love this movie anyway.
The remake of It, the first chapter. I wasn't a fan of chapter two, but chapter one, I fucking love that. What incredible casting. Those kids were amazing.
So, so good.
And bless Bill Skarsgård. Like,
yeah, I know. He's great.
Him and what's the other brother's name? Alex. Alexander Skarsgård. Yeah. Like, ugh, perfection.
Yeah.
What a great family.
I know, right?
The quintessential horror family.
Yeah,
I love it.
Super fun family.
Was there anything else about this movie that?
No, yeah. That's pretty much all I had on it. I mean, there's thousands upon thousands of facts and stuff about this movie that I could go on forever, but I'm not gonna. So
yeah. I feel like werewolf movies are really hard to pull off. And they shouldn't be, but they are.
Well, if you want to do this, it's all about the special effects.
Yeah.
You know? You want to do a werewolf movie justice, you have that at least one solid transformation in there that you see the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but it's got to be practical.
Yeah.
Because there's too much going on where it's just going to look like crap computer generated bullshit. Well,
that was the one with and I hate speaking poorly of Benicio del Toro because we know I love him, but the Wolfman, I know they had like the transformation where he, you know, he does ultimately turn into the werewolf,
yeah.
You know, like the, I think it's like the first night he does or something, and
yeah.
it's all CGI, and it just, it doesn't, because it technology just comes and goes so quickly that something that looked great, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago looks like garbage now. That's why like Jurassic Park holds up, because
of the animatronics.
Yeah, it was animatronics and like, you know, like there's very little special effects in that, like CGI and shit, like very, very little.
Yeah.
And that's why it holds up so good. Like you have to do things, like look at it like, how is this going to look in 5 years, 6 years? And like, what's the...
Especially now.
Yeah.
Less so in the 80s.
Oh, we're living in the age of fucking AI. Like, AI just generates everything now. So, right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, I have your calendar for you.
I'm very excited for my AI-generated kitten calendars.
So, if you want to watch, like, not necessarily recent, but like a modernish, decent werewolf movie with practical effects, check out Ginger Snaps.
I've heard of Ginger Snaps. I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. That's the girl that turns into the werewolf.
That's the girl, okay. Which is really interesting as well, because usually it's always like from the guy perspective, but this is from a female's perspective.
Nice.
So it's got that going for it, which is kind of cool to see. But as a whole, good movie, great werewolf change. I don't think it's as good as this from The Howling or American Werewolf in London, but it's up there.
It's right up there.
Yeah.
Still
practical effects.
So, Steph, you took on the recipe this week. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you made and why?
Yes. So, in honor of The Howling and its pack of dogs, I made a pack of dogs. Bad joke.
Waka waka.
I made Franks and Beans.
Yay!
So, Franks and Beans, super American.
I mean, okay, that's the episode, because that seems like the easiest thing ever, but go on.
Hey, in my defense,
I deserve an easy recipe. I'm not disparaging you or the recipe. It's just Frank and Beans just seems pretty self-explanatory, but like, did you do anything different with
yours? Sure did.
All right, go on.
Nope. Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Bye. It's in a crock pot, obviously.
Nice.
It's got bacon, onion.
Oh, hell yeah.
I have kidney beans. Chili beans. Ooh. And and the pork and beans. So
okay.
Like regular like beans, you know, like Boston style kind of beans. Andy was very disappointed that I didn't get the B&M beans because, you know, New England staple. Anyways, so cut up your bacon, like 8 slices of bacon, you know, cut them up along, you know, cut up your or dice up your onion.
Yeah.
Saute your bacon and your onion. Super easy. Meanwhile, you're sauteing that. You just open the cans of beans and dump them all into your crock pot. You take some hot dogs, slice them up, throw them in there. And then you add a mixture of mustard, ketchup, brown sugar, honey.
Regular honey or hot honey?
I use regular. I'm sure you could use hot honey. But I use regular honey. Salt and pepper to taste. I didn't add any salt in it because I didn't know exactly how salty it's going to be yet.
Okay.
Because hot dogs, ketchup, mustard.
A lot of sodium going on.
Bacon. Yeah, there's a lot of sodium going on. Anyways, so you put all that, you just slice up your hot dogs, you throw it in with everything else in your crock pot. Take your bacon and onions when they're done. Obviously, don't dump them in with all the grease that's rendered, or fat that's rendered out. So drain that out. But then you dump that in your crock pot, stir it together, put that shit on low for 8 to 10 hours, boom.
So excited.
Super easy, smells great.
You could have just been like, I made cut up hot dogs, and like, and I would have been like, yay!
Right? I'm so hungry.
I love a good hot dog. It's like.
So do I.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had hot dogs in a while, actually, probably because it is December. Yeah. So.
It's a July food.
Usually.
Well,
but that's it.
That sounds really good. So we're going to have that recipe up on our Instagram. That's going to be at Baking to the B Movies. I can't fit the the recipes on Twitter because there's like a character limit. So you just head on over to our Instagram. It'll be on there with some photos so you can see what it looks like and how to make it step by step and everything. So Steph, when this episode goes live, we're going to be heading into Christmas.
Boo. and the dead of winter.
Yeah. Well, I always view like February as like the worst month for winter. It's because there's
I'd say like mid-January to February. Yeah.
Well, Sean's birthday's at the beginning of January, and then mine's
yours
mid.
Is at the end.
It's just like, no matter what, like I either get snow or rain.
I know. Sean always complained about that too. Like his birthday just sucks because every time he was to have a birthday party, we'd have a snowstorm.
For like the past 6 years. Like I think it was this past year, I went out for his birthday. He had like a little like get together.
And I think I remember that, but
obviously. I got stuck there during a snowstorm. So I had to stay at his apartment for like 3 days because it just snowed for like 2.5 days.
That.
It was crazy. It happens every year for him.
I know. At least, that poor guy.
Yeah, at least by me, it's like a little. My birthday is like usually right around the time January thaw happens, so it's like not as bad.
Well, right, because what'll happen is it gets so cold that it just can't snow because it's just too cold to snow.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of closer to your end, whereas his is right in like the cusp, like where we're at right now. Like, oh, we're hitting like 30 degree weather. That's like snow temperatures.
Yeah.
If it gets to like 10 degrees, it is it not snow. Going to
it's
snow.
Just,
it's too
just,
cold.
It just hurts to go outside.
Yeah, it just sucks.
Yeah, so Sean can't, rather get Sean can't leave for anything for his birthday because he snowed in. I can't leave for my birthday because it physically hurts to be outside for more than a few seconds at a time.
My birthday's in early April. It's great.
Oh, so lucky. So, you know, obviously we wish everybody a very happy holiday season. Mm-hmm. We have another episode lined up before the end of the year. It's going to be our last episode of 2024, but we do have more lined up in 2025, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're right smack in the middle of our season, which is fun. But
cool.
So I guess I'm just taking the opportunity to say Merry Christmas to everyone who celebrates.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays. And, if you want to watch, this was interesting. Me. If you want to watch The Howling, you said you watched it on Prime.
Yeah, I watched it on Prime.
I couldn't get it to work on Prime. I could only watch the trailer. It wouldn't let me rent it or anything. I had to watch it through like YouTube, but like YouTube's partnership with Shudder. I don't know. I watched it on YouTube, but it was, like, through Shudder. I don't know. It was weird.
Well, for the normies out there, you can watch it on Prime. I rented it on Prime for, like, $3.
I tried to. It said it was available on Prime, like, when you Google it. Like, when you Google The Howling and, like, where to watch. It's, like, Prime, $3.99. I was, like, great. And then I clicked on it and, like, opened my Prime Video app. And it was just, like...
Prime Video app sucks.
It was, like, watch the trailer. And I'm, like, cool, but, like, how do I watch the movie? And it was, like, watch the trailer. And I'm, like, no, I've...
It's like forcing you. Like, I don't care what you want.
So I watched this trailer. Well, I was like, I'll watch the trailer and I wonder if it'll give me like the option to like buy now or rent now. And I watched the trailer and I was like, okay, yep. All right. Remember some of this. Okay. And then it was like, watch the trailer. And I'm like, fuck you. And I went on YouTube and watched it.
At least you were able to watch it.
Yeah, but it is.
We didn't have to go to the dark web to get a DVD.
We haven't had to do that in a while, but I feel like we should find something.
I probably could.
Because that's always fun. When you get, like, a physical, like, foreign DVD and you're not sure if it's going to put, like, malware in your system.
Right? And I have to, like, parachute down to some country nobody's ever
like
heard of.
It's like in the middle of the Amazon rainforest.
It's literally, like, it's literally the beginning of Hellraiser. Yeah. That is your pleasure. I would like a copy of... Return to Sleepaway Camp, please.
I'm looking Turner and Hooch. I'm looking for Turner and Hooch. we hope that you guys have a great holiday. We're gonna be back in a couple weeks. Steph, was there anything else before we go and go wild on this Frankenbeans recipe?
No, I think we are good.
Awesome. Well, as always, thank you all so much for being here with us today. Again, you can find us on Instagram at @BakingToTheBMovies, Twitter, @BakingToBMovies, Gmail, BakingToTheBMovies@gmail.com. And we are available wherever you get your podcasts. So be sure to like, subscribe, share, give the gift of Baking to the Bee Movies to your loved ones.
Right?
Be like, hey, listen, I didn't get you a physical, like, tangible gift, but here is something I think you're going to enjoy.
We really need to normalize these kinds of gifts.
Yeah.
Plus, they're
recommendations.
Inexpensive.
Yeah, recommendations are a great gift. So if you have that friend or loved one that you're not sure what to get them, it's crunch time, Christmas is just like a few days away, just be like, listen, write down Baking to the Bee Movies, like, in a card or something and give it to them and be like, here is my gift to you. It is the gift of recipes and horror movies and chaos and vulgarity and friendship. It's friendship. Friendship. It's the gift of friendship.
Here comes the friendship.
So, yeah, I highly recommend doing that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
I'd love for somebody to listen to this and be like, oh, this was my Christmas present. Like, I'm listening to this as a right? Christmas present.
Right? Right? I mean, every recommendation, I'll give you one of my own curated recipes.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh,
right?
I like that. We should really consider making a book. Like a baking to the
like bee. Like a cookbook, you mean?
Yeah. Like all of our recipes with like some trivia about the movies that we're talking about and stuff. Yeah. And like, that would be really fun.
Yeah. Maybe we should.
That's a goal for 2025.
Okay.
We'll do it in 2025.
All right. Resolution.
Let's get to 2025 first.
Right.
So yeah, happy holidays, everybody. We will see you all in a couple of weeks before the end of the year. My name is Ashley.
And my name is Steph.
This has been Baking.